We will resume the story in February. We always do our core values in January, and today is Come As You Are, and we're going to do it a little different this year, and you will see that will all become very clear in just a moment. All right, here we are, Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would pour out your spirit here today. God, I believe you have given me this message. Now, Lord, I need you to deliver this message through me. Father, hide me behind your cross. Help us to hear Jesus, see Jesus, respond to Jesus in a way that changes our lives forever. We will give you all the praise for every good thing that happens here today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. You may be seated. All who are weary and heavy laden. All includes you. Everybody's got an invitation to come. And then the only condition is, don't pretend and don't perform. Just come as you are. Don't hide. Come. Jesus is waiting for you. And he promises two things. One, that in him, you will find rest. You will find forgiveness. He says in Isaiah 1:18, come to me. Let us reason together. And though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. This is why he died. This is why he came. He wants to wash us white. So the idea that I can't come because I'm too sinful is crazy. No one washes their hands before they take a shower. You don't have to clean up for God. You don't have to get your best foot forward. He knows what both feet look like. Come as you are. Come as you are. And he will save you. He will wash you, he will forgive you, and you will find rest in his love and in his salvation. Amazing. But he's got more than that. Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm meek and humble of heart, and I will show you how to live out of this rest that I give you. I'll show you, there's a lifestyle that goes with this that will be a light burden and an easy yoke. I want to teach you not just how to get saved, but now how to live saved. And so point one today is what we're doing in this series. It's called The Wheel. We are going to learn this as a congregation. Out on the table, we have got the wheel illustration. You can pick one up, and I've got a bunch of note cards out there that you can pick up six of them, because there are six scriptures that go with learning the wheel. We're going to learn it over 4 weeks' time. The purpose of the wheel is if you're going to have a lifestyle, that a habitat that the life of God flourishes in, then this is how you need to live your life. And so this week is the hub, which is Christ. Next week will be connect with God. That will be the word and with prayer. The week after that will be on fellowship. Greg will do that one. Connect with people. It's about connecting in the church, with the church, how to function in the body of Christ. And then the last week is on contending for more of God's presence. And that will be witness and obedience. And I will do that again. But there are verses that go with this. I want you to memorize these verses. And so, why? Because my goal is not just that you will learn it, but that you'll be able to help other believers. You'll be able to share the wheel with other believers. You yourself will be able to draw this out. Here are the verses. Here's what the verses mean. Here's how the Christian life works. God doesn't just want you to be saved. He wants you to win in the Christian life. He wants you to experience victory in the Christian life. And you're not going to if you don't grab a hold of the lifestyle. And so we've got six verses. I'm old school. So if you're old school, what I need you to do is pick up six of those note cards. We've got note cards on the table. We will run out at some point during this service. But you write the reference on top. And then you write the verse out by hand, and you have six of them, so six note cards, and then you carry them around with you. And during the day, when you have a moment, you read them off, and then you read them without looking at them, and then you give them to a friend or a schoolmate or a spouse and say, quiz me on this, and you wait until you can get it word perfect. And then you describe the whole wheel to another person, and then you have it. You have this lifestyle that Jesus wants you to have, because he wants more for you than just that you're going to go to heaven one day. He actually wants us to win down here in the Christian life. So here we go. Today is the hub. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Salvation comes when I put my trust in Jesus dying for my sins. Sanctification begins when I embrace that I died with Christ and can now live in his resurrection life. Salvation is an event. It happens when you put your trust in Christ. You'll have a chance today to respond to Christ. Sanctification is a process. It is a relationship with God where we learn how to live with God. We learn how to live holy. We learn how to live in victory. Now, unfortunately, there is a truth that you have to embrace that's a little hard to understand. And that is that in Christ, When Jesus died on that cross, that your old man died. You died with Christ. Jesus came as a human being, and on the cross, he took all of Adam's race, all of the sin nature that had come into the world through Adam, and it was nailed to that cross. Then he rose from the dead. Romans 5 calls him the second Adam. And he started a new race. And it is supernatural. You have to be born in the Spirit to be in it. And you have to live in resurrection life. Otherwise, you're not going to win as a Christian. And you're going to be very confused as to why your Christianity doesn't work. The old man, the old self, no matter how strong that old self is and how much willpower and how much personality and how much devotion that old self has, that old self will not be able to live Christianity out. So here's Romans 6, 10 and 11. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is not you killing yourself. This is not you beating yourself up, hating yourself. I need to die. No, that's not going to work. It doesn't work. It's called will worship. It doesn't work. You're going to have to identify with Christ's death and recognize and believe, I died with Christ, and now I'm living in his resurrection life. So this is very hard to grasp for us. So let's chat. New Year's resolutions. Here's how a New Year's resolution goes. In 2025, I will stop doing X and I will start doing Y. Depending on how bad 2024 was, the energy behind I'm going to stop doing X and start doing Y can be stronger or weaker. How much resolve you have, how much accountability you have. But at the end of the day, those resolutions don't last long. They might last a week, they might last a month, they might last 3 months, but eventually all of that resolve, all of that energy, all of that power, you just kind of get sucked back into life. So Romans 7 kind of explains this mystery. Paul says, the things that I want to do, I find I'm not doing. The things I don't want to do, I find that I am doing. I rejoice in my inner man with God's law, with Jesus, with salvation, but I find a different member working in my body called sin, and it is keeping me from victory. I keep failing. I keep going the wrong way. I keep doing the wrong thing. Who can save me from this body of death? And then he says in verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So how does Jesus save us practically in our lives from giving us victory so that we get the things that God wants us to do, we're actually doing, and the things that he doesn't want us to do, we're actually not doing? Well, here's the secret. Romans 7, verse 7 to 25, there are personal pronouns given 40 times. Me, I, or my. I counted them this morning. Me, my, or I. All the focus is me, my, and I. I'm going to do this. I'm. Romans chapter 8, 1 through 16, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 16 times, 16 verses. Romans 8, 1 through 16 tells us the victorious Christian life. In Christ, there's no condemnation. We walk by the Spirit, not by the old man. We set our heart on the Spirit, not on the flesh. The flesh kills, the Spirit gives life. It is a life in the Holy Spirit. This is the victorious Christian life. The focus is not on me and my, it is on him and on his power and on being filled with his grace. The Christian, the victorious Christian life. So that's point two, the hub. To get a hold of this, sometimes it helps to speak things out loud, even if you don't understand them, to speak them out loud. So I have two sentences that I want us to say out loud together. Can we do this? Yeah. All right, here we go. So you repeat after me. Because Jesus died for me, I will live forever. Because I died with Jesus, I can live in him now. All right, so let's move on to point three, which is staying in grace. So Galatians 2:20 was our hub verse. So this is now going to start Galatians 2:21, the very next verse, through 3:5, and then I'm going to do 4:15 as well. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. Oh, foolish Galatians! Who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. And then down in chapter 4, verse 15, where is that joyful and grateful spirit you felt then? So even though you can experience Christ, experience his rest, experience his forgiveness, it is very human and very natural to go back to performance. You're still a Christian, but you're living out of the wrong spirit. You're living out of your own energy, your own will, your own performance. And it's not that God is opposed to effort. We're going to see that later. What he is opposed to is earning. And so what happens is they're going back. They are saved, but they're going back. And Paul's saying, where's the joy? Where's the way you used to do stuff? Where's the gratefulness? Where's the awesome? Jesus is so awesome. It's all gone. There's no more miracles. There's no more sense of the supernatural. This is, you've gone back to human performance. And if this was by performance, Christ didn't need to die. So last Sunday at 5 to 8 o'clock, I had a meeting at my house that was called Back from College, Pizza and Sharing. And so there was an invitation that went out to lots of college students that have been away. They're back just for the break. And of course, I always give pizza. That's always my drawing card. And we had 15 college students at our house, and we went around and shared about ups and downs and how their spiritual life is going. I was just so encouraged. These are just great students and great thoughts and lots of just wonderful, wonderful things. There's one guy that I'm very close to that couldn't come to that, and I took him out to breakfast, and we had our own little meeting. He goes to a Christian college, very conservative Christian college, and we had breakfast together. I say, bro, tell me about your spiritual life. He said, Pastor Tom, there is a culture of defeat on our campus. I'm like, what? Talk to me. What do you mean? He said, most of the people that go here are, they grew up in Christian homes, and so they have Christian stuff, activities, like they go to Bible studies, and they go to church. They might even have their quiet time, but no one is excited about Jesus. In their free time, no one talks about Jesus in their free time. They talk about video games, they talk about movies, they talk about sports, they talk about, the stuff they're excited about is not God. And he said, in the small groups, it's the same old sins, the same old stuff. There's no victory. It's like there's a culture of defeat. And so here's what I said to him. I said, bro, the sign of legalism, where legalism or performance-oriented Christianity has gotten in, is when everything is now have to. I have to. I have to, because if I don't, I will be punished. It's fear-based. The sign of grace, that grace is operating, is want to. I want to give effort. I want to seek God. Because I'm excited about Jesus, I want to please him. It's not about fear of punishment. It's about love. I love him. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to do anything that would touch that relationship because he is the love of my life. Have to. Or want to. Yeah. It is God at work within you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. The Holy Spirit, when grace is available, there's this tremendous resource called want to. So I want to tell you my own story. In 1982, I got saved in 1981, and I was the prodigal son. I was so grateful, so excited to be home, so excited to be forgiven of my sins, so excited about the generosity of God. And now I was a Christian. I was a non-Christian with all my heart. Now I was going to be a Christian with all my heart. And by 1982, I had gone in just 1 year from being the prodigal son to being the older brother. I was just like the older brother in Luke chapter 15, he says these words. He says, I have kept all of your commands. I have slaved day and night, and you've never done anything for me and my friends. And he's angry at the father's generosity towards the prodigal. And I had gone in just 1 year from being a happy, fun-loving, non-Christian to an angry Christian, self-righteous, feeling like my Christianity was all what I'm doing, and God, you're not doing anything for me, and I'm doing all of this for you, and I was angry at other Christians, I was angry at the world, I was angry, just angry. Of course, when you're in the midst of it, you can't really see it. And so the summer of 1982, I went home and I would participate in a campus life group. And there was a guy in the group named John Lima. He was one of the leaders, a very sweet guy, and certainly an introvert. And he did not want to have any type of argument with me. He comes to me one day, he says, Tom, I don't want to argue, but I have a book I want you to read. And I'm like, fair enough. I take this book. It's called Smith Wigglesworth, An Apostle of Faith. It's about this plumber from England, late 1800s, He doesn't die until like the late 1940s, but he's uneducated. The only book he ever learned to read was the Bible. And he had a second experience with the Holy Spirit, a mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it started working miracles. And in his ministry, 8 people were raised from the dead, and limbs grew out. He went all over the world, every internationally. And I'm reading the stories of his life, and I'm just crying all the way through the book. And the reason why I'm crying is because this is a Christianity that's very different than mine. My Christianity is all about me. This Christianity is all about God. Smith Wigglesworth isn't angry at anybody. He's filled with love. He's not angry at the world. He's changing the world. And I get to the end of that book, and I'm like, you know, I knew enough about the Gospels. I'd read the Gospels enough. I'm like, you know, my argument was, and my group, the Holy Spirit, you get everything all at once, and nobody has more of the Holy Spirit than we have, and there isn't a second experience, and da-da-da. And I'm like, I'm changing my belief. Because this sounds more like Christianity in the Bible. Mine sounds like some man-made version of it. And I went on a journey. And if you want the whole story, I tell the whole story, the baptism of the Holy Spirit night. So that's coming up January 21st. It's a Tuesday night, 6:30 to 8, January 21st. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not only will I tell my story, you will have a chance to receive the second experience with the Holy Spirit that night. Very exciting night. It's very easy to go back. It's very human. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it doesn't work. It ends in death. All right, so let's go back to this wheel illustration. So here's what happens. If you don't keep your focus on the hub, which is Christ and the grace of God offered in Christ, and keep your heart filled with Jesus, filled with the want to of grace, then pretty soon, Jesus will become smaller and your performance will become more the focus. So you're still praying, you're still reading, you're going to church, you're trying to be a witness, you're trying to obey the commands, but Jesus is getting smaller and smaller, and it's more and more about your performance, your quiet time, your revelation, your church, your doctrine, you, and all of a sudden, Jesus is no longer the center of this thing. Something else is. I call it heresy by emphasis. See, Jesus needs to be the center. Jesus is the truth. His person is the truth. He is the Redeemer. This is the engine of Christianity. And you can have all of these other things, but if you lose your hub, you're going to end up religious without a relationship. So this whole thing is going to be about effort. But you can't ever take this want to, can't take the hub away, or it doesn't work. So I've told this story before, but I love it because it helps to see it. In the early 1900s, automobiles became available to the common man through the Model T, through Henry Ford's Model T. So this guy goes to the Ford, the Model T dealership, and he's going to get himself a Model T, and he loves the chrome, and he touches it, and he kicks the 4 tires, and he sits down in the leather seats and puts his hands on the steering wheel, and he's convinced. He has to own one of these, and he says, how much is it? And he pays what the cost is, and then he proceeds to hook the Model T up to his horse. And the dealer's like, sir, You don't understand what you've got here. The Model T has its own engine. Christianity comes with an engine. You can try to hook Christianity up to your willpower, and it will be a weight that's even worse than the Old Testament law. Why? Because Jesus said, it's not, you guys have said it's wrong to murder. I say it's wrong to be angry with somebody and hold anger. You say it's wrong to commit adultery. I say it's wrong to lust in your heart towards somebody. Jesus's commands, only Jesus can keep Jesus's commands. Because they're not just outward, they're inward. This is why we can only live it dead to ourselves and alive to God. This is why we have to reckon ourselves dead so that we can be alive in this engine called grace. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come, and I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 4. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. So effort, us putting effort forth, effort to read and pray, effort to go to church, effort to witness, effort to obey God, effort that we're doing. It is not effort to earn, it's effort to enter. Christianity is to be lived from this rest, where we cease from our work, cease from our performance, and we enter into his resurrection life, where it is no longer I who live and I'm now doing this Christian thing. No, Christ and me are now one. There's this union. It's no longer I, it's we. And we are living out of this relationship from rest. We call it the ease of heaven around here. This is where the miracles happen. This is where the things that only God could do happen. This is when it becomes an adventure, because it's not just you trying to keep the rules. It's Jesus is alive today. Oh my, he is alive today. He is crazy in love with me. Are you kidding me? And so earning, effort is not about earning. It's about entering. Make every effort to enter that rest, to live out of that rest, where you learn to cease from your works so that you can participate in his. Guys, no one does this perfectly. No one will ever do this perfectly till we get to heaven. But 2025 can be better than 2024. All of the failures of 2024, man, I'm not really that good at being a Christian. No, why? Here's why. Christianity is impossible. Only Jesus can do it. But you can enter more into that union. And you could take your failures and count them all towards humility. Count them all towards this, I'm convinced sin in me is more powerful than I thought it was. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, there's a Savior. Thanks be to God, somebody died on a cross. And we can enter in to this life in the Holy Spirit.